Again, 2 Kings 5, verses 1 through 14, found on page 323. Listen now and hear God's word for you. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little maid from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord thus, and so spoke the maiden from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 festal garments. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you rent your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Phaphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servant came near and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had commanded you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a child, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me again? Gracious God, we are thankful this morning for these, your words, and for this story. We ask now, as we consider this, as we reflect upon it, the familiarity with it, that you would speak to us something new, something unexpected. It is in the name of Jesus we ask this together. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about Elijah, Elisha's predecessor, and how he did not expect God to care for him in such a manner, as he ran as fast and as far as he could from the queen. It was not that he had little faith in God, as Jesus might say repeatedly in the Gospels, but instead a provision from God, I said, was unexpected in Elijah's mind. He forgot. He doubted. But God overcame those feelings, fed the prophet, and his life and his ministry moves forward through the rest of the Old Testament. This week we find a similar example of unexpectedness, which I know is not necessarily proper English, unexpectedness. This week we find someone who was willing to do anything difficult, asked, in order to secure his miracle. Faith, no faith, large faith, doubting faith. I don't think Naaman's even in the debate at that moment. Instead, Naaman in our text misconceives of God. William Coffin sheds light on what is happening in Naaman's mind as we think about the passage together, even if he, Naaman, is not alerted to what's going on in the narrative in his own mind. He says, if we misconceive of God as our father protector, so to speak, in charge of all uncontrollable contingencies along the way of our life, then each disappointment reduces what may confidently be affirmed about God. And this is how most people lose their faith, he goes on to say. There is nothing anti-intellectual about the leap of faith that Naaman needed to take in our text today. For faith is not believing without proof, but faith is trusting without reservation. In this situation from 2 Kings 5, with his brute strength, his influence, and his history behind him, Naaman was afraid to trust what God could do. He was misconceiving of what God could do, and so God was essentially able to do anything because his mind was closed off. I wonder if we fall victim to the same thinking in our own Christian lives, in our daily lives. Not that we no longer think that God is able to care or listen to your prayers, but because of our history, because of our self-reliant memory of how hard we have worked and when we have been rewarded for that hard work, we forget to trust without reservation, which is the basis and demonstration of faith living and at work in each of us. You see, almost everything in our lives revolves around accomplishing something. Many of us do not consider our days complete until the to-do list is finished. Whether it is the honey-do list given in love, or one assigned by a supervisor or a company given out of duty, the list must be finished. It is everywhere in our world. For those who are going on the Nepal mission trip in a couple of months, we have hopefully just finished a large legal packet of disclosures that releases ICN to care for us and to lead us while we're in Alam, Nepal. But the one paper that was the hardest for me to think about, and I bet I'm not the only person in the group who struggled in this moment, is the one that asks the question, why do you want to go on the service trip? The first answer that came to my mind as I filled it out related to getting the job done answers. I want to build, I want to serve, I want to do, I want to display God at work. I don't know anyone who would answer that question if they were asked, you know, I just want to sit there and be present. We are not planning and executing this trip just to be in Nepal only. No, we want to be of service to God and the kingdom. We want to do something, and that's not bad. But returning to our text, trusting without reservation means that the answer to that question could be, and maybe should be, I just want to go and trust God to work out the details of another person's life, in another person's life. But try walking into your supervisor's office on Monday morning and say, I know I'm supposed to do these assigned tasks, but instead I feel like just showing up is good enough. Don't you agree? That does not fly. Not because the employer is evil necessarily, but because we are hardwired in our life to do something. Naaman was too. Naaman absolutely was too. When he conquers on behalf of the king, he proves his worth, humanly speaking, to the nation. And maybe, just maybe, to himself. When he puts down a rebellion, provides a show of strength that is needed, Naaman is doing what he is assigned to do, and it gives his life meaning and purpose. As Naaman offers the king of Israel payment for his miracle, he is displaying that transactional nature that he understands life to be. And so when the prophet Elijah says through a messenger, just go soak in the Jordan, have a nice bath, that feels like not holding up his end of the bargain, which is not how he understands life to be. To trust without reservation flies in the face of the world we live and work in. But miracles happen when we stop thinking what should happen and begin to relinquish control and let it happen according to God. If confronting life in this way was hard, this part, this movement of it is even harder. Again, you can't go to work and affirm this, but it has to live in your Christian life somewhere at the same time. This step or this action or this change in thought is harder because it requires us to take that rewired thinking that we began with as we realize how life in this world puts our faith into practice. So many people have attempted to make a confession of faith only to not confess anything but to fall back into the rut of doing faith, i.e., let me show you how deeply my faith runs as I pick up the hammer and get ready to work. Certainly that is necessary in the church. If we don't care for this space, it falls down around our ears. But today, in this text, for this moment, that is not what is required by God. Trusting without reservation is required. When moments like this come into your life, I also begin to wonder, who, if anyone, are we trying to impress when we behave like Naaman? Each other? God? It is when Naaman submits, stops doing or working for something or someone, stops trying to buy his miracle, that space is created for God to act in his life. This occurs when the maiden girl, the slave girl from 2 Kings, interacts with Naaman, and her intentions cause him to stop, slow down, and think about things for a moment. When we stop and slow down and begin to notice what is happening and what our faith is calling for, we notice in texts like this and in moments like this the foreshadowed miracle that was present the entire time. Because of how we are wired as tax-centric individuals, we might just miss this if we're not careful. Naaman washes in the Jordan and is changed. He sinks down into the waters and is reborn clean and new, it says. His whole personhood is different because of this one moment. That action sounds a lot, if you think about it, like a sacramental moment that we'll celebrate next week as a church, when water is poured and a covenant is made and we are sealed to Christ Jesus in an act where our identity and our perception of ourselves is changed, is made different. We call this baptism, don't we? And again, we'll celebrate it next week together. Few people think of this Gentile military leader with his brute strength and his army standing behind him as being baptized in the text. But maybe, just maybe, that is what God is showing us is that is possible when we trust without reservation. When we trust without reservation, we find what seems so familiar, that seems uninspiring, it becomes transformational. It becomes worthy of sharing. It becomes a moment we cannot forget or move past. It will be harder to sell the story of a military man being healed of a disease because he took a bath, which is not what he wanted in the first place, than it will be to say that God brought him to the water so God could remake him, change his whole identity, change what seemed hard and unchangeable, wash what cannot be washed away by normal soap and water, and made him new. I wonder where those moments will happen in your life when you too trust without reservation. Naaman's story is often used to teach us to simply have faith, to trust. But that is harder than it seems for many people. God's message may be with you, but that doesn't mean that you always accept it or blindly move with it. But what if God is getting ready to do something special in your life? What if you could trust without reservation? And as you do, you find that God is going to do and is doing something transformational, something different, something amazing in your own life. Let us pray together.